Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey B. has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B. Outdoor Science and Nature. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. I've got a great show for you today, and in the studio is my great friend, Inspector Dave. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you again for having me. Always fun to be in the studio.
Well, you know what? The title of the show is Spring Has Sprung, so let's see what's going on.
Well, before we start, Joey B., can you explain hibernation? That's kind of scientific, so I think you should do that for us.
Well, I describe hibernation this way, and we all know because I love eating food. It's if there's a loss of a food source, well, you have a couple choices. You can either migrate or hibernate. And some animals, they will choose to migrate to a specific place where there is food or there is a place, better place to raise their young. Some animals will choose to hibernate. And when an animal goes into hibernation, two things happen. Their heartbeat and respiration rate goes way down. And the example I can give to you is from my grizzly bear research. Now think about this. A grizzly bear, when he goes into hibernation, his beats per minute of his heart could be as low as 2. It's about 4 BPMs. And that's amazing when you talk about like hibernation. And for that reason, you go, well, why is everything down so low, respiration and heartbeat? And that's because you're trying to conserve energy at that point. So there's a simple thing with hibernation. There are some animals that hibernate, some that migrate. And if your food's around, guess what? You're staying there because your refrigerator did not leave you.
So after all that explanation, do people hibernate?
Well, you know this. You live down the road from me a bit. And there's one gentleman, and I always say that he hibernates because it's funny. Fall comes, he's gone. I don't see him until, because I call him the groundhog, I don't see him till the groundhog comes out. So do people hibernate? No. Does he hibernate? The answer is yes. So with that, I'm going to turn over to me asking the questions and you giving us a few cool answers because you're the organic gardener and the specialist. So what are some of the emergent signs of spring in nature?
Well, as I'm looking out the window, because we have that great porch that we have breakfast on every day, so I monitor the weather every single morning. So there's a lot of things we look at. I see the snow has melted. That's like a big one. I can see ground again. There's no more white. We see some of the trees now. We're starting to maybe get a little buds on them. You see a little change in color in the trees, maybe a green flush. We see a yellow flush on the forsythias. We see a change in the birds. There's definitely more bird activity as the winter birds are getting ready to move on. And the summer birds and spring birds are starting to come in. We'll hear different calls from the birds as they start to sing and to look for mates and show off any nesting sites and houses that they may have found. And, of course, looking for the small little crocus bulbs and other little small ground-planted flowers that you may have that come out really early. See the first little push of a daffodil up through the ground. And so it's just the grass starts to get a little bit green. You know, it's just things are coming alive again.
Well, you know, as you're describing that, and I haven't really looked for the last few days, but about a week ago, the juncos were still here. And that's a bird, that a tiny little songbird that migrates down from Canada. And I'm always looking for him when I don't see him. Then in my mind, I'm saying there's like, because all the signs you gave are great ones. And looking out right into nature, when you see skunk cabbage, Simplococcus photitis for you scientists out there. When you look at skunk cabbage, then I know that spring is here. And I actually have seen some skunk cabbage, you know, coming out, budding out. Now, my question, have you seen the groundhog yet?
Actually, I saw him about 6 weeks ago. He was out early in late winter. It was like a warm day and there was everything had melted. So I guess he kind of came out to take a look around and he wandered kind of through the yards and stuff. But I haven't seen him since, so I don't know where he's at.
Well, as you ask that, or I ask that question, you give the answer to that one. The there is a podcast show, and then one we filmed on Joey B TV. That's JoeyBe.tv. You can go and watch the episode there. It's the groundhog versus the cardinal, because the cardinal really is the true prognosticator of spring, and you were the one who mentioned it with the different songs and calls. The cardinal is the one who begins to sing, and when he begins to sing and set up a territory, you know spring is here, and cardinals have been calling all, well, probably for the last month. Do flowering bulbs know when to emerge?
They seem to have it figured out, because every year they come up. We look for little signs, and we see the little tips coming through. The daffodils seem to be some of the early ones that push up. I like to put those in because they're more critter resistant and they're very reliable and they multiply underground. And the crocuses, they seem to know when to come up. Now, occasionally they'll get bit by a hard freeze, so the leaves might get a little dry on them or a little browned, or some of the flowers might get a little nipped on the crocuses. But if they seem to know pretty much every year, and they hide under the ground there. If the soil starts to warm up, they feel the warmth of the sun, and all the bulbs that are in a sunny location pop a little sooner, and the ones that are in a more of a cloudy area there in the shade, then they come up a little bit later. But that gives you, that's great. That's why when you plant bulbs, put them in different areas so you stagger your flowering array there a little bit. Just like you do with vegetables, plant different types of bulbs in different types of areas and you get a much longer period of flowering bulbs.
And one little hint with that one is if you plant bulbs close to your house because the warmth that's radiating from your home, they will flower the quickest. And really neat. Yesterday, Gabby and I are on our first bike ride of the season, and we're on this trail in the woods, and I look into the woods because the buds in the trees hadn't opened yet, but the daffodils, as you were mentioning, the green leaves were up, and they hadn't opened yet, but the stem was coming up with the flower. Again, so you could just see a little bit of yellow, but it wasn't ready to pop just yet. But like you said, it's pretty neat to be able to see them, and sounds a little silly, but they were staggered through the woods. So what are some of the weather pattern changes that you notice?
Well, all this spring weather, as the winter goes away, obviously it's getting warmer, so we feel a little more warmth. Then we get the up and down days. Some days it's really warm, and then you'll get maybe a little cold spell, and it goes up and down, so you don't have that steadiness in the temperature all the time. But you can feel that things are changing in the warmth of things. And you can also see it in cloud patterns. You get different types of clouds as the spring comes around because the air can be a little more turbulent with hot and cold fronts moving through. So it stirs up different types of vapors and winds are in different directions. So you can enjoy different types of clouds. And you'll see it in the bird patterns. You see flocks of birds, you know, moving through. You know, those are things. And it's just the sun angle is higher too. So we can be assured that even if we get a late winter or an early spring snowstorm or ice storm, we know it's going to melt pretty quickly because things are much warmer and the sun will melt things down.
And you know this, it's like even if it's just 40 degrees out and that sun angle is there and you could just feel the change of the sun and the warmth on you. It's really good. I tell you, those are one of like my perfect like spring things is when you're out there and you're enjoying that sun. And it's just the angle of the sun is just right to warm you up. And this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So at this moment, or not exactly at this moment, but what should I be doing in my yard and garden?
Well, certainly planning. You know, what are we going to be doing this year? If it's just the flowers, what type of flowers, perennials versus annuals or a combination of both? So planning our different types of palette that we're going to have for colors in the yard. That's a big part of it. Looking at the shrubs that we do have there and trees, looking for winter damage, looking for branches that are broken or need to be pruned back, starting to clean up a little bit. Looking for any damages, molds and fungus and things, maybe from the snow or from the salt, looking for things like that. And then just thinking about our vegetable garden. If we're going to start planting vegetables, what are we going to grow this year? What was fun last year? What could be fun this year? And I already have your project figured out because you are taking over the carrot section. So we'll be sharecropping carrots with you. And I know you love the white lunar carrots. So we have two different styles of those for you to experiment with. So it'll be the Joey B Carrot Nation in a few months.
Well, you know what, Inspector Dave, I'm joking on that one because, you know, over in your organic garden last year, we were talking about carrots and you're going to do a seed tape and I was supposed to go do them and put them on there. And I said, so when do you want me to do it? You go, they're already in the ground. So if you're going to give me that and I'm going to come over to the organic garden to go to work, don't do my job for me, okay?
Okay, that's a deal.
I'm sure you won't mind not doing that one. So there you go. Now, have you planted, personally, have you planted anything just yet?
I just, 2 days ago, the ground finally got above 45 degrees with my little soil thermometer. So I put my first section of sugar snap peas in. I put some little dwarf peas in, and I put the big sugar snap, the big tall ones. So I have a cage for those. And I have a new yellow sugar snap pea that I found that's supposed to be very heat tolerant. So that will be this year's experimental pea crop.
You know, it's neat. And you know this because I love those sugar snap peas. They are one of the tastiest. And it's early. People think about, you know, again, the tomatoes and the peppers and how long you have to wait for it. There are some crops, that lettuces and things, that you can get some early cool weather crops in right now and get bounty in a month or two. You know, with the lettuces, in 1 month, you're up in your yielding lettuces. Pretty neat. Now, is it too early to order seeds and plants?
Oh, not at all, because especially if you're ordering plants, you want your grower, if you want specific plants, you want your grower to be able to get them going for you so that when you're ready to pick them up for a planting date, that they're there and ready to go and you're not shut out of a particular variety that you may want. And the same with seeds. As the all the seed producers and the catalogs and all the vendors start getting busy, they may run out of a certain type of crop that you want. If you have your heart set on that after doing all the research in the magazine and in the catalogs and reading everything, you find a seed that you want for a particular type of plant, and then you order it, oh, it's out of stock. Now you have to start kind of over again. So it's good. The seeds that you buy are viable. Just store them properly in a cool, dry place, and they'll stay plenty viable for the season. And then just you want to get those things in now so you have them, so that when the weather breaks, you have them in hand, you can run right outside and get start planting things.
Now, do you, at this point in time, pay attention to gardening supplies?
Oh, absolutely. That's another reason, just so I don't have to stand in line. If I'm driving by the garden center and I need some green sand or I need some topsoil or I need some fertilizers, anything that I can buy that stores well, I might as well get it while I'm driving by and there's nobody there. Prices are pretty much the same. It's time. It's all about time. Why stand in line with 20 and 30 people when you could just walk right in and walk right out? You know, take some time to talk to the people that are working there and, you know, pick their brains a little bit and just reestablish your connections with them again. So, yep, I get out there, tools, you know, look at your tools and see if you need to replace any or you want something new. But the more you buy early, as long as you have a little shed or a little garage area to store everything, you should be good to go.
And you mentioned that in your comment about the lines. When spring, like warm weather hits and it's like a planting day, you go to a nursery and it is just mobbed with people. And the other comment you made where you're able to talk to your nursery man or nursery woman and pick their brains a bit, when it's chaos there with millions of people, they don't have the time to spend with you. And like you said, to pick their brains. But early in the season, they have the time to sit and want to sit down with you. And you might just have a simple little question. It might be about, hey, and I'll use this because it is organic gardening with Inspector Dave. Maybe there are people out there that just want to ask their nurseryman or woman about how to go organic into their garden. And I think that's a great, great thing. Now, we always talk about good and bad. Is there anything bad to do in the garden early in the spring?
Well, the main thing is you want to control your enthusiasm if the ground is very wet. So you're not working out there, especially a vegetable garden or any area that you're going to plant. If the ground is very wet and soggy and muddy, you don't want to touch that soil or walk on it for sure, because you'll compact it down, force the oxygen out of it, and it'll get all compacted and you won't really be able to loosen it back up again. So if you're going to work in the soil, even though it may be warm out, if we just had a rainy area or it's still mud season where you are, you should take a fistful of the soil, pick it up, squeeze it. It should be like a wrung out sponge. Say that three times real fast. And that would be that it's dry enough that you can work in there, that you're not going to destroy the tilth of the soil. That's very important because it's really hard. You know, it's that first warm day. We want to get out there. We're enthusiastic. We've been waiting all winter, but we want to make sure we don't make more work for ourselves by working out there a little bit too early. Certainly we see it in the parks, the amount of people on the first warm day our parks are like jammed. There's like so many people walking on the trails and all that. It's like fun to see all that. But it's like, where are these people the rest of the year? I didn't know so many people lived in the neighborhood, but they're all out walking with their kids and the strollers and the dogs. So that's the main thing there is just not to work the soil, I think, is the big part, you know, too early. And not planting seed too early, too, or plants. Like, make sure you're past the frost-free day for your area and that you're following the guidelines on the package for soil temperatures. You know, having a soil thermometer is important because otherwise you're just wasting seed or maybe, you know, wasting plants. Although I did see a tomato plant last year at the community garden that people put it in like a month before the frost-free date. It got nipped by the frost. It was dead. And we're like, look, those things are done. Well, they came back and produced fruit like I've never seen before. It's like, so I don't know. That was a very hardy tomato plant that they had there. I don't know the variety, but it was kind of fun to watch it all.
Hey, it came back. And as you were describing about not walking in the garden, compaction of soil, oxygen, then I thought about your organic garden where you have pathways through, and they're brick pathways, tiny little pathways, you know, that you can walk on so you don't actually have to step into the garden part where we're doing some of the plantings. And I think that that's a great idea. Now, it sounds, I don't know if this is the right thing to ask, but I already, in my mind, I know your answer. What about exercise and stretching? What about gardening? Exercise, stretching? Tell me about that.
Oh, absolutely. When you get out there in the garden, there's work involved. There's physical labor involved. You're using tools, maybe machinery, if you have a big rototiller or something else. And you're going to be using muscles maybe that you have not used all winter, a different set of muscles. So if you just get out there and just start digging away without warming up a little bit and stretching, you're going to get a lot more muscle soreness. So you want to make sure that you do that stretching and limber your back up, limber up your thighs and your calf muscles, all that, so that you'll be able to, and you'll be able to work longer too. You won't like, you know, crash and burn there within like a couple hours. You can get a little more time out of it. But taking your breaks, certainly staying hydrated, you know, that's a big part of it too.
Well, any other personal protection rules you should review before, or you could tell us about?
Well, all the things that we need to think about now is the sun. The sun's higher in the sky, so our sunblock, we should be having that on. Sunglasses to protect our eyes from cataracts. We should have, I like the sun shirts now, the UV-protected shirts and hats, so you can wear a lot of long-sleeve shirts. I wear them all summer long to protect myself, so I don't have to put a lot of sunblock on. I have less exposed skin. The big brim hat, so that protects my eyes and my ears, the back of my neck, my scalp, and all that, areas that are hard maybe to put sunblock on. So those big brim hats there that are especially made for sun protection, those are good. And having the right footwear that you have so that you have your feet are protected properly, having socks, thinking about insect protection, you know, from ticks and from other insects that are getting active now, watching out for any yellow jacket nests or other ground dwelling bees or wasps that may be around, keeping your eyes out there, and just making sure that you're working safe. I wear disposable gloves when I work out there because there are a lot of different type of organisms and tetanus and all in the soil. So I try to make sure I always have a pair of gloves on so I don't get anything coming into cuts and anything on my hand or on my arm. And keeping your tetanus shots up to date. You know, you should have a tetanus shot a minimum of once every 10 years, a booster shot. So that's a good way to protect yourself also, and it doesn't really hurt. And get that done. And if you get a lot of cuts and you're out in the soil a lot, sometimes a booster in between that time, if you have a serious injury, they may give you a booster even before that 10-year cycle. But I just put it on my, like your 30th birthday, your 40th birthday, your 50th birthday. It's like every 10 years, that's how I keep it kind of in my head. Well, I had one, you know, when I was 50, I had one, you know, and that way. So whatever milestone you want to pick, it can be like 55 or 45 or 35, but whatever numbers you're going to pick. It's just, there's so many things that we have to keep track of. So unless you're going to keep a whole medical log on yourself, that's a quick thing. Because anytime you go to an Amedi center, or you go to a hospital, first thing they ask, flu shot, tetanus shot, pneumonia shot, and you can rattle the stuff right off if you get it in the same period all the time.
I like that. That's actually a cool little tip there. Now, you mentioned, and I thought this was crazy, about all those people you see in the outdoors. Well, what about spring sports and the fields that people are using?
Well, that's another thing with the fields, like they may be muddy for sure. So you have to kind of make sure you have the right footwear. If you need to vary your footwear, that's important there. But also we're thinking about a lot of these sports fields now. If you're not playing on synthetic turfs, you're playing on a natural field somewhere, the usage of chemicals on these fields. It's still being done to a much greater degree than it should be. So if you have any input into field maintenance in your area, try to encourage them to go to organics and safe use type supplies on there, because you're rolling around and your kids are rolling around and you're rolling around, and you know, whatever sport you're playing, you're going to end up on the ground sooner or later. You have dirt on your uniform. You're dragging these chemicals home to the dish, to the clothes washer at home. They're on your shoes. You may have geese there, and you know, Canada geese coming around with their droppings all over. So you know, just think about all the things that are in that field too when you're out there. So you're protecting yourself, you know, around those things. You're big on fields too, Joe. I know that.
Well, you know, it is, and this is my ideas, especially in urban areas and city areas, there's an overuse of fields because, again, there's just not a lot of field space. So that's one thing. And I don't know any other way because there are areas of the country you can go there and you'll just see field after field. And if one field is starting to get used a little bit, they just move on to the next field. When there's places we can't do that. But you spoke about the chemical, and to me, that's an important thing. Children are playing on fields that are sprayed with chemical all across this country. And we as people in our country need to step up, and our local congressmen, senators, it could be even closer to your mayor, and having these conversations, because it's less expensive to be organic and it's better and healthier to be organic. So why not? So, Inspector Dave, what about the awareness of weather during outdoor games and events? You have a couple ideas about that?
Sure. And I'm just going to comment, there was just a blue jay on the windowsill, like looking at us. He was sitting there, like listening to us and giving us a little up close and personal nature adventure there. That was kind of fun. And so going back to awareness of weather, now, when you get into spring weather now, this is when we start getting some of the more violent weather may occur, because we're getting the clashing of warm and cold fronts. So we get a lot more storms that can blow up pretty quick. We get tornadoes start to occur, and we get a lot of winds, you know, March winds. We always talk about March being super windy, but then we get more winds that can come from storms as they come together. So we want to be aware. So whether you have some type of weather system in your phone or on your computer that you can monitor things, you get alerts. There's a lot of alerting systems you can sign up for, different apps and all that if you're into the technology. You know, having that there, having a radar, a mobile radar available. So if you're coaching or you're a parent on the field, you can take a quick look at the radar, see what's going on. And then if there's lightning detection systems on the fields, that's an important thing too, that if they went to the expense to install them, well, listen to them, like observe what that system is telling you. Sometimes you see so many things and the people are not listening to all this great stuff, or like, oh, we got 5 more minutes, we can get done and stuff. So I know you had some experiences too, good and bad on the fields.
Well, one of the things about with lightning safety, you and I had filmed the Joey B on the Front Porch episode about lightning safety. And if you ever want to go watch an episode at joeybe.tv, joeybe.tv, and watch that episode, I ask Inspector Dave a number of important questions so that you can learn all about lightning. But I'm going to say it this way. The first thing is, if you hear thunder, that means you are close enough to get struck by lightning. So when you hear thunder, by law, teams actually have to stop playing for a minimum of a half hour. So I'm going to let you know you're out in the park and you're playing Frisbee, and most people hear thunder and they just keep playing Frisbee. Well, guess what? Make a good decision. Safety first in all you do. And Inspector Dave, I had shared this story with you that time. I was actually on the field coaching, and huge county park. There must have been about 15 teams on the field. This micro storm comes. I mean, I look up in the sky, see gray, and I know it's coming. And in a matter of 5 minutes, it came racing in, and it happened to be in March. And as it raced in, there was thunder, lightning, crazy. And I am letting you know that, and I'll brag a little bit about me, I did everything that you taught me that I'm supposed to do with my team to be safe. And we had coaches that stayed on the field practicing during lightning storms. I saw one coach take his team over to a light pole, which is made of metal. I saw another coach take his team under a huge tree with a root system that is, you could see the roots bulging out of the ground. Like every wrong thing that you could do, those coaches were doing. So here we go. if you're a listener out there and your child is involved with a team, ask the question. If your coach knows what to do in case there is a storm, you should know that. And if you're a coach out there, or you're a parent who wants to get involved with your children, make sure that, hey, watch Joey B TV and watch Lightning Safety with Inspector Dave. It is worthwhile. But there's just more. Just do your homework on it and make sure that everyone is safe, because it is always safety first. So, Inspector Dave, should I be thinking about my power equipment and my hand tools?
One more thing about the weather. Why don't we have weather drills? We have fire drills and all kinds. Why not a weather drill with our teams and with our kids in school?
That's a great, by the way, I wish I thought about that, but I'm going to take the credit for that one. I'm going to pass that one along. That's a great idea.
I don't look for the credit. I'm just looking for safety for everybody. So everything that's avoidable, prevention, that's been my whole life. What can we do to prevent and avoid bad, tragic things from happening? And one of the things is to practice what we would do in the event that something does occur. Let's practice now so we get all the details down pat and it becomes more automatic. Okay, so going back to your question, what about my power equipment and hand tools? Well, this time of year, you should be getting early in the spring, getting your power tools that you're going to be using checked over, make sure they're ready to go, getting them, the oils changed if you still have oil combustion engines on there, changing the oil, making sure they start up okay, sharpening the blades or whatever the machinery does to make sure that the operating parts are up to snuff, so that when you go out there to cut the grass, because it's a foot tall, because it just rained and you haven't been able to get out there, that the machine is like ready to go. Because that's a big thing. People wait till it's time to cut and then the machine doesn't start, or they can't get it, you know, think to operate properly, or the wheels are stuck on it, or whatever's wrong with it. Now they can't do what they came to do. And our time is precious. You know, we have time allotted for our gardening work. So making sure your power equipment is serviced early before the shops get real busy too. If you can't do your own service and you have to take it somewhere, the longer you wait, the longer the wait is going to be to get your equipment back. And then your hand tools, just checking them over, make sure the handles are tight and smooth. If there's any edges that need to be a little file on them, to sharpen them up and see if any are broken. And then looking through the catalogs, maybe there's something new they came out with that would be fun to have and useful for you.
Well, one of the things I learned from my dad was preventative maintenance. And he was always working on some type of machinery, some type of tool, and I learned a bit from him. And then when I was an undergrad in college, and I was working for this big-time landscaper, every Friday afternoon at 3, we were done. But not done working, we would go back to his warehouse, and we would service all of the equipment. So, like, again, we're using equipment on a weekly basis and, you know, running over, you know, 5-acre lawns, tractors, 10 acres. And, well, we would sharpen blades or whatever it took. And that was the preventive maintenance that he did. So I just share that with everyone. I think that's important. Now, I went from a tractor down to a snow thrower. Now, people have snow blowers. Well, what about putting it away? And what about all the gas I bought for that snow blower this year?
Okay, if there's one thing we can do to make ourselves more ready, because now we're already talking about what are we going to do for next winter. Same thing for summer and spring. We want to make sure the equipment that's seasonal is ready to go early in the season that it's going to be used. Now, snow blowers, the number one thing, and this comes from my experience of many years in the service field or working on small engines and equipment, is that it's the fuel. It's almost always the fuel now and everything that doesn't start, because all the new equipment all has solid state ignition and electric start. But it's just always about the fuel. So if you can keep the fuel fresh in there, and we talked about when you buy gas or gasoline for your snow blowers and other winter equipment, that you have to put stabilizer in it right away, because the ethanol that's mixed in there now by federal law attracts moisture. So the more moisture you have in your fuel, the quicker it goes stale. So it won't ignite properly in the combustion chamber. It'll maybe make ice in the line and freeze up. So you have to make sure that you always have stabilizer in any fuel, like immediately as soon as you buy it and bring it home in the can, add that in there. So that being said, to make sure your fuel is fresh and kept fresh, but you also want to take out the fuel of machinery. And like most snow blowers and snow throwers, they're just big paperweights in your garage. That's all they are. Just something that's always in the way because you use it a couple hours out of the entire year, and the rest of the time it sits. But that sitting time is when it goes bad. The fuel gets gummed up in the carburetor, it goes stale, and the machine won't start next time you want to use it. So if the number one thing to do is get the fuel out of there. If there's a shutoff valve, start the machine, shut the valve, run it dry so that you get all the fuel. If you can get the fuel out of the carburetor, that's the number one thing you want to do so that the machine will stay fresh and ready to go. And then the gas that you bought for your snowblower, you should still be able to use it if you treated it properly. You can still use that in your lawnmower. It should still be fine. If you don't have a lawnmower or other type of equipment, then you can probably put it in your car or talk to one of your friends, a mechanic friend of yours. A lot of times they're always looking for fuel for down in their shops and all that. I have a friend that I just cycle all the fuel through him, and he has a long trip out to Pennsylvania, so he's happy to get a few gallons of gas, for his car once in a while. And it's just his thing. That's his tip for being a good mechanic for me, and we get along real well. So it's all about the fuel, keeping it fresh and running everything dry in the off season when you're not using that equipment.
Well, I hope we've seen our last snow. So if we have, then I will actually run mine dry. Now, for you, what comes next in the gardening world?
Getting the lawn ready, doing my lawn care is next. Will be when the forsythia starts to bloom, we'll get our pre-emergence corn gluten products down. We use WOW from Gardens Alive, really good stuff that fertilizes and helps prevent dandelions and broadleaf weeds and other things you don't want to grow, and it helps to fertilize the grass. It's all organic, so you can play on it right away. Dogs can go on there, kids. It's really good stuff to use. And then getting the garden beds edged a little bit around the flowers and getting the sidewalks kind of done. Looking for frost damage. If anything's heaved up, we got to put that back into place. And then we're getting ready to watch the soil in the vegetable garden because we have to get out and rototill and get our amendments in there and stir in our compost and all that and get our garden bed shaped. And so that as soon as it gets really, really warm, we can start planting other things.
Well, that's again, that's the excitement of getting out there. So, Inspector Dave, it's been a great show, and I am just going to ask you, do you have any other closing comments you'd like to make?
Well, when you get out there, it's busy. The spring is certainly the busy time. Just like if you're a farmer, we know that's a super busy time. But for people with a backyard garden or people that are doing recreational gardening, it's a super busy time of the year. We're out there. We have to get everything shaped up, and then we want to be able to relax a little bit when this real heat comes in the summer. So we want to get everything really nice there. But take time. Take time to sit down on a chair, have a bottle of water, enjoy the sounds that are around you. The winds are changing, so you may hear different sounds. Maybe there's a new neighbor in the area. You get to maybe meet with them, have a little time with them, looking around and going over things. Maybe you convert them to organic if they're not organic. That's always a nice challenge that I try to find is give people the spiel on why organics are better, especially if they have little kids. It's a little easier to do that, or they have pets to kind of make that pitch to them. And then just enjoy the different sounds of different birds that are out there and the winds, the warm wind on your face and on your back and all that. There's nothing like being out in nature. And you don't have to be out into the park. I mean, nature is in your backyard, too. And a lot of people fail to realize I can sit in my backyard and still enjoy a lot of the same sounds that are there and a lot of the same sensations from nature.
Well, something, and you're describing that, and I always say on many of my shows, viewing nature is free. You just mentioned about the different birds you might see in your backyard and something like that. So, Inspector Dave, I just want to thank you for coming in today and sharing your knowledge with us again.
Okay. Thanks for having me. And we're looking forward to getting out there and digging in the dirt. And I wish you luck on your carrot crop.
Thank you very much. And until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.